Chapter 5. One More Fish. 80 miles west of Washington, D.C., close to the small town of Brandley, is a secluded but extremely beautiful stretch of water known to the locals as Summer Lake. The bright red canoe reflected in the mirror-like water as David Hendricks watched his 12-year-old grandson expertly attach the bait to the hook. "It'll be dark in an hour, so this'll be our last fish," said the old man. The boy flipped the weighted line several yards from the canoe, turned and smiled. "Okay, Grandpa, just one more fish." The sun had set behind the tree-covered mountains in West Virginia, and the warmth of the day had slipped away by the time they paddled the canoe up the small jetty. Hendricks pulled in the holding net and let the water drain away to reveal 5 wriggling fish. The boy jumped onto the jetty and secured the canoe, then took the net from his grandfather. After collecting the equipment, they walked up the short banking to the log cabin. "Fish for supper, Bobby."
"Again?"
replied the boy. They both laughed. It was dark when they finished supper. The boy went to bed early, tired after the busy morning in the woods and the afternoon in the lake. Hendricks smiled contentedly to himself as he sat on the veranda, the crescent moon illuminating the beautiful lake. He smoked a fat Monte Cristo and relished the taste and aroma from the expensive cigar. An occasional fish disturbed the stillness as it nipped a firefly from the surface of the flat water. He finished his cigar and stubbed out the butt in an overflowing ashtray, then walked to the steps. He strained his ears but heard nothing from the surrounding woods. "Very strange, no sound at all," he thought, then turned and went into the cabin. A few days later, the front page of the Virginia Tribune read, "Retired Colonel Dies." The byline gave a short career history of the retired soldier, followed by a brief report on the tragic death of the man and his 12-year-old grandson. The pair were believed to have succumbed to a gas leak while sleeping. The provisional coroner's report indicated a faulty valve on the stove's butane cylinder, resulting in the accidental death of the victims. In Washington, President-elect Mason was chairing an oversight committee on security budgeting when his smartphone vibrated in his pocket. Discreetly, he slipped the phone from his jacket and swiped the screen. He scrolled through the Tribune's report on the death of his old comrade until he found the coroner's verdict. As he placed the phone on the desk, his aide was curious as to why the senator was smiling in such a serious meeting.